Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Hebrews. I've been talking about the topic of faith for several weeks and how important faith is. And I like to do a series on this, you know, at least once a year, if not twice a year, because walking in faith and living by faith is probably one of the most foundational messages that you and I need to grab a hold of. And it's important that we learn, you know, what it is and how we start to look beyond the natural and start to see the supernatural. And the key to this is that the application of faith, the application of faith, most people don't apply it. You know, it's one thing to assimilate information. We all assimilate information. We bring it in and we put it in our memory banks and it's there. But yet it doesn't really do us any good unless we start to apply it in our life. Because application is probably one of the most important things that you're going to learn in the things of God. I believe it separates the haves from the have-nots, the beggars from the receivers. And it happens when we learn to take faith from the classroom and start to apply it in the living room. And it's not enough to say that faith works, but I believe we need to say faith works for me. And once we get to that point that we say that faith works for me, I'll tell you what, we're on a road to ascension in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the power of everything that we're going to do, Lord, as we glorify you in everything that we say. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal it out of our lives and hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The passage I want to read is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. This is a very common scripture that a lot of people, you know, preach from. And we're going to look at it from some similar views, but also from a little bit different views. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." So the idea of faith and how it works in our life and how it is that we apply that so that we can be able to change our situations around for the glory of God. See, it's not about just using it to draw attention to us, but really the proper use of it is to be able to glorify God with our lifestyle. Now, as we see from this passage, we're going to look at faith from three different areas: past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. And we're going to look at it from the past because men of old gained approval. Now, I don't know about you, but when I live a life down here and all the effort and the things I've put into the kingdom of God, I want to be approved. I don't want it to be that I'm just down here spinning my wheels, just talking gibberish and not having an impact on the world around me. Next, it's about present, because we are encouraged to live in now faith. Now faith. You know, I always use that illustration, Pharaoh, in the book of Genesis, when all the frogs were there, and the frogs were all over his house, and, you know, everything around him, you know, there's frogs everywhere. Moses asked him, "When do you want me to get rid of the frogs?" He said, "Tomorrow." That's not now faith. Who would want to sleep with frogs when you could get rid of them now? And see, now faith gives us the ability to appropriate the things of God now and not have to wait. And lastly, future, because we see the creative element of faith where it has the ability to frame our future, and only by faith will we ever understand, it also says. Now, I'm not going to preach on this area of it per se, but I want you to study this on your own. And in verse 3, when it says the worlds were framed, that Greek word is talking, I think it's anios, and it's talking about the idea of generations or cultures and that time frame where we can frame our future with the Word of God. It's not talking per se, although it could be the law of double reference, where it's talking about how God spoke and there it was. But God challenges us to be able to use the Word of God. I think about faith of where I was and where I am today, and how by using the Word of God, I'm in a different place than I would have ended up. See, we're all on a journey. We're all heading somewhere. There's always a path out there that we can walk. But I tell you what, there's different maps out there. There's different directions that we can go. And if we choose to latch a hold of the Word of God and be able to see what God says is possible, see, what God says is possible and what we think is possible is usually two different things. I mean, for me it is. Maybe you're a lot more spiritual than I am, but a lot of times when I look in the natural, I say, man, there's no way. But when I look in the Bible, there's a way. There's a way. God gives us a way. And if we learn to apply that, it's not, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to make this that it's so easy that you're going to hear this one message and all of a sudden you're just going to go out there and, you know, take everything by storm. You know, it'd be nice if it did work that way, but it doesn't. It's a process. We grow. And we, as we start to learn to apply and we start to utilize the things that God's given us, then we start to get to the place He wants us. Now, past faith, when I look at that in my life, I've been saved about 30 years, and it has to deal with the previous victories, you know, that God has done in our life. Now, we have people here today from all different areas. Maybe some of you have just gotten saved, and you're just starting out in the things of God. And when you rehearse your past victories, it might be more of a short story. You know what I mean? You could read it on one piece of paper. And for others who've maybe been saved a while and out there in the battle and just fighting the devil and, you know, getting victory after victory, you know, maybe it's a novel. Maybe you have a lot of things that you've done for the kingdom of God. And that's where you're at in your faith. And see, what's neat is the fact that God's Word applies to both the beginner and someone who's also more of a professional, shall we say. And that's what's glorious about it, because the Holy Ghost is here, and He's the one who's bringing truth to each and every one of us wherever we're at in our walk with God right now. Because we all can be in different places, but yet it's the same God, and He wants to lead us to the place He wants us to be. And the old, when I think about some past victories, you know, we can, you know, also, maybe you don't have a lot in your arsenal right now where you can draw up. But if you look into the Old Testament, especially the book of, and also the book of Psalms, you know, you can kind of see some old victories. When David, who wrote many of the Psalms, you know, he was penning the testimonies of what God had done in his life. And I encourage you to get a little book and write down things, a journal. When God does things in your life, and date it and write down what He's done so that you can look back on this yourself, because sometimes we forget, don't we? We don't mean to be forgetful, but we get that way. And David, about him, many times he was out there in the field with those sheep. And he's just alone out there, taking care of his daddy's sheep and making sure that nothing bad happened to him, because that was his responsibility, to be able to take care of them. And he was out there alone, but he wasn't really alone, because he's with God. God was with him, and he would play his harp, and he would just get alone with God and start to learn some things about God and understanding what God's doing, and those testimonies that happen, you know, along the way. They help us to grow. And with God, David out there being alone with those sheep, he started to gain these testimonies that just about me and God and I want to say me and God. I know that's not proper English, but, you know, just me and God. We're out here. Just out here in this field. We're together. Wherever you're at work, at play, just me and God. We're here. And God's leading me. He's guiding me. And those testimonies, and hopefully for you and I, it's not just what happens in this building will be your testimony. But we need testimonies from here. But it's the testimonies that happen out in the living room. It happens at work. There's where we need to start to be able to apply the Word of God. Use that application part where we can start to see God start to move. Now, when a lion and a bear attacked. Now, I've been close to them, but usually through a glass or a cage, right? Most of us, you know, we're not really, you know, don't have too many lions in Iowa. A few bobcats, you know, now. There is some mountain lions around. You know, they've introduced them, bless their hearts. You know, DNR thinking we need mountain lions around here, but glory to God, I don't know why. I'd hate to run across one out in the timber. Just what I see on TV about how they're a little bit cranky sometimes. But anyway, I suppose this would be a good test of your faith when that happens. But see, David's job was to take care of these little sheep. And all of a sudden, a lion, a bear come and attacked. And David could have held out for the Calvary. But the Calvary ain't coming, people. It was just him and God. David, by the grace of God, went up and snatched that sheep out of his mouth and killed him. That's a testimony. He was out there alone with God, and he learned what it was that God could do through him. Now, don't think I'm recruiting for Sunday school teachers, but it's going to sound like that, because it sort of is. Or Wednesday teachers. But you will never experience God like you do when you're serving God. I guarantee it. God's grace is there to do things. And when we do things, we experience the presence of God. And that's what the anointing's for. I hunger for the anointing. I thirst for it. I love the feel of it. And I receive that anointing when I go out and do things for God's glory and not my own. So that's why we need to be involved with the things of God and doing things. I don't experience that anointing when I do other things. Only when I do things for God. And sometimes, I know we need to, we preach group and we preach that we do things together. And how important that is. But sometimes you're going to learn faith all by yourself with God. Just you and God. Just depending on Him. Starting to lean on Him. Starting to try to understand what it is that God wants for you to do and how you are to do it. And that's the great thing. Now, David, bless his heart, he just didn't rest in those past testimonies. You know, and I believe that sometimes some Christians make this mistake. And I run into them every now and then. You know, I'll be honest, I don't do it. But when I hear somebody say this, I used to, I want to go, oh my gosh, here we go. They used to. Whoopee. Yay for you. You used to. What are you doing now? What are you doing now? Because used to doesn't help us grow in faith. You know, and as I've observed these used to Christians, you know, when they come up and tell me, you know, I used to do street witnessing. I used to do evangelism. I used to give people a ride to church and go out and reach people. I used to teach Sunday school or whatever the case may be. I used to usher. I used to do this. I'll go, what are you doing now? Oh, nothing. How can you do that? I don't understand. How can you used to? When you've experienced the presence of God and the anointing of service and being in the presence of the King, and then to pull away from that? I don't get it. And I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it. I don't want to go down that road. And when I look at from that, I thought about this the other day. Maybe a raisin commercial came on. I don't know where I got this. But, you know, I call them raisin Christians. You know, because they're all withered up. And that's what happens. We dry up like cracker juice, man. That's just the way it works. When we live in the used to life. Now, I'm not saying you can't take a break every now and then. That's all good. But I'm just saying if you've been on break for several years now, hello, you know. I don't know about you, but I love a grape. I'm a grape-eating machine. I love a grape. I love the look of a grape. Grapes are perfect. I just love them, especially when they're chilled and they got that little glisten on them. And I enjoy them. I don't think there's anything prettier than a grape. I like apples. I like watermelon. I like all those some, but I get a grape. But I'll tell you what, I really believe this. I don't believe any grape when they're growing up wants to be a raisin when they grow up. I just can't see that, you know. I just don't see it. You know, I used to eat raisins on grape nuts till I read the box how many calories are in that, so I quit that, you know. There's just so many calories in that. But I used to enjoy them. I just power them on there. I mean, I like a good raisin every now and then. But I don't know. I just really can't see a grape's goal in life to be a raisin, to be some old withered up thing. You know, raisins are ugly. Compared to a grape, you put them both in a lineup, which one would you rather have? Man, I'll pick a grape every time. They're pretty. A lot better looking. You know, repeat this after me. Say, Pastor Brad, I don't want to become a raisin Christian. Amen. We never want to be that. We never want to be that. Now, here's what David did. He didn't become a raisin. David, when he went there to see his brothers, his dad told him to take some stuff to him. Back then, they used to do some, you know, if you took like some food and different things to the commander, your family would maybe get a little safer place to stand on the wall when you were fighting or whatever the case may be. So David took some food and everything. When he got there, he couldn't believe everybody hiding. They were all hiding back behind stuff. He said, what are you guys doing? You guys are battle here. Well, there's a big dude out there, Goliath. You know, nobody wants to fight Goliath. He's too big. David got to thinking, you know, I just whooped me a lion and I just whooped me a bear. Goliath ain't nothing. He drew from that past testimony to be able to get him catapulted to the next stop at where he needed to be. And that's really what our past testimonies do to God. You know, when he ran up to Goliath, he didn't run alone because he knew when he ran up to that bear and he ran up to that lion that he knew that God was with him. And it was the same God when he ran up to Goliath. That same God was with him. And he used his faith and he killed that giant with one rock. Knocked him down, then he cut his head off with his own sword. That's what he did. Used the past to help the present. And that's really what the past is about. The past is not to write your memoirs about, you know, put it out there for people, although it's good to write them down, like I said. But the past helps us with our faith experiences today. And that leads us to the next point of now faith. I believe that faith is worked out in a crucible of life. You know, sometimes you and I are all forced in difficult situations. That's just the way it is. You know, one time when I got saved, there's some people said, all you got to do is get saved and everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Liar! Found that out wasn't true about 2 weeks later. It don't work that way. No. Once you get saved, you all of a sudden become part of the problem for the devil. That's all good. Don't run. Stand strong in God. God's grace is there. That's why we develop our faith. But see, that faith is worked out in them difficult situations, and it must be lived out for ourselves, you know. You know, what I found out is we can't live it out for others, and others can't live it out for us. We've got to live out our own faith. You've got to stay true to your heart, what it is inside of you that you know that God is doing and what He's called you to do. It doesn't matter if anybody's following you. If you know that you know that you know that God wants you doing this, that's what you do. And you do that till God tells you something else to do. That's just the way it is. And as you do that, you're going to start to grow and you're going to start to lean on God. And when it talks about now faith, I believe we need to take inventory. What are we doing for God now? You know, what I found out is we can't change the past. We can repent of it and the blood of Jesus will take it away. But it's already taken place. The past has already taken place. Now, it's already in the books. It's there. Now, like I said, the blood of Jesus can wash it away, some of all the bad stuff. But what I think we need to do with now faith is the fact that what new chapter do you and I want to write today? Every day is a fresh start. Every day is an opportunity for a new chapter of what we can do. Remember, I started out today talking earlier in the service about seeking first the kingdom of God. It's about priorities. As we put God first, then we start to apply our day that way. I'm not saying we don't do other things. We just don't live in a Jesus bubble. I mean, it'd be nice, but we don't get to do that. But no, but as we set our mind towards the things of God first, it establishes our path that we're going to go on. Now, as we're going to change this, the now, as you change the now, you got to start somewhere. If you change the now, you change the future. November 5th, 1983, my now changed my future. That's the day I was delivered from the power of alcohol and I started to walk in the things of God. Before I knew about God, I dabbled with God a little bit and kind of, you know, did what I could based on where I was at. But when I finally decided to receive it is when my whole future changed. Everything changed for me. And since then, decisions that I've made to live by faith and do some things has had an effect on my future. And that's the good thing about God, people. We can change our future by a decision, by an application of turning our life around and deciding to do it. Yeah, it's going to be a process. 30 years ago, I did not believe I would be here today doing this. You know, I thought I was going to be doing something else. I thought I'd be a missionary right after I got saved. Overseas, that was where my passion was. But God used that passion and I learned some things and did some things. And then, you know, God's turned me here and I may get to go back. But this is where my passion is now. And this is what I'm doing. I'm going to stay doing this until God gives me something different. I'm not going to run away. Amen? I'm just going to keep running at God and doing what He's wanting to do. Now, as we write this new chapter, as I said, we can only change her now. Now, faith is the assurance, the Bible says there, or it's substance. I don't know about you, what's substance? Same noise, right? Now, that's pretty solid. Matter of fact, I helped put that together, a few of us. A lot of nails. A lot of nails went into that stage, or that platform. Excuse me, stages for performing. We don't perform. We minister, amen? That's a platform. But that is solid. Is that real to you? It should be, because it's real. That's about as real as it gets. Did you know that what we need to get to is that when we see something by faith, it's as real as that, when you see it by faith. And there's times in our life when we walk with God, where God shows us something, even though it's not there yet, we know it's real. That's faith. And we act on that faith. And that's the practical application that we'll be able to look beyond the problem and see the solution. That's one of the benefits of having a lot of problems in life. Amen? Is that you know you got through this one, I can get through that one. God is greater. He brought me through this and He brought me through the lion. I know I can take out that bear. And He brought me through the bear. I know I can take out that giant. What's next? It doesn't matter. God will bring us through. That's what faith is for. Now, those who don't have faith hide. They hide behind things and let other people do us. Now, what I feel is faith gives us the ability to see the unseen and do the undoable. When other people say they can't, that's when we say we can with God. As long as God's leading us that way, amen? That's how it needs to work. We need to have a witness of what God's doing in our life. And then I will say this, you got to be careful who you tell. Not everybody's at your level of faith. God may have put a vision or something inside of you that you're supposed to do, and don't make the mistake of telling somebody who doesn't believe, because they will try to talk you out of it. You're crazy, man. That's crazy talk. We told people that we were going over to Greece to live. You know, I know there were some people in my family that thought we were nuts. Greatest decision I ever made. Greatest decision. I learned more there than I did in a lot of other applications in my life. Great decision. I know some of Denise's family thought I was dragging her over there and we weren't coming back. You know, a couple of them. They thought we weren't coming back. Hey, you're going to go over there and die or something. You know, I don't know what they, evidently they didn't like me back then. Possible. I'm not as nice as I was now. I know I'm not the easiest person. But if you're in trouble, I'll be there. Amen. I'm the kind of guy you want on your side. I will say that for me. Now, lastly, future faith. I'm wrapping her up here, people. Future faith. Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, one thing I've found out, preparations never lost time. You know, he was preparing an ark. You got to think about this. It hadn't really rained ever yet. They were living in a perfect situation there, when a canopy situation, where when God created the heavens and earth, until sin entered mankind, hadn't really needed rain, but then God was going to pour out the floodgates and wipe everybody out. Now, if Noah actually thought when he started that, you know, the old Jaws commercial, you're going to need a bigger boat. Amen? You know, you see them elephants walking up and the giraffes and all these critters that he had to put in there? You're going to need a bigger boat. You know, I'm sure if he's going to build a boat, he might have built a rowboat or some little canoe. But no, he built a big boat. He hadn't seen it yet, but through God's eyes, he could. Now, we usually prefer to live in the now, but wisdom says to plan for the future. Now, as he built that boat, you know, he just went on with God. I'm sure he was being ridiculed, and sometimes you get that way. People pick on you. They was making fun of him. What are you building that stupid boat for, Noah? Why are you putting all your effort into that? What do you need a boat for? We don't need that. But yet Noah knew that he was following God, and he didn't reverence to God. Now to me, and when we apply these two things, is that now faith and future faith kind of go hand in hand, because the future faith has and the now faith go together, because the now faith affects the future. And I believe the future is hinged on the decisions that we make. So how do we apply this? Number one, remember that everything is subject to change, so don't settle. Just because your life is a certain way right now, don't believe you have to stay there. Because that's the lie of the devil, thinking that you can never turn your life around. You can never change these situations. Because with God, all things are possible. Number two, it's okay to be confident, but never be complacent. You know, I'd rather have a confident person that somebody says, well, they're just a little cocky, than somebody just sits around being complacent, accepting everything that happens just like it is. You know? So be confident. Be confident in God. Next, third, only by faith will he ever understand all that God has for it. Remember, by faith we understand. See, you can't understand everything with God in your head. You got to have an element of faith where you can draw from. And lastly, the application of faith will take us from being a have-not to somebody who has, and from somebody who is a beggar to somebody who has the ability to receive from God. And I'll tell you, people, you know, it's a growth process. I remember sitting out where you're sitting and hearing somebody talk about this, and I'll tell you what, it was sometimes hard to understand how you could get to that place in your life where you could understand that this was no more real than what God says in the Word. And I'm not totally there yet where I want to be, but I'm a lot farther along my journey than I used to be, because I don't live in the past and look at what I used to do. But I wake up and say, what can I do today?